Good morning. Thank you for joining us on the Bible Baptist Hour. Pastor Heaton here, and we're in the second part of a message entitled Instructions Concerning Contentment. Our song today from the Primitive Quartet, God Has Been So Good to Me. We hope that you will find a good church to go to. Don't depend upon us to be your church or your pastor. And I understand you could be in the hospital or you could be in a rest home. You can be a lot of places and you can't get out and go. And I understand that, okay? But for those that are able, you ought to be in church today. You ought to have a local church and a local pastor. And you ought to believe the Bible and you ought to get in that church and support it 100%. That is our advice to you. Bible Baptist Church, located in Lupton, the east side of the road. No matter which way you come into town, you can find us. 9:45 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock the morning service, 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock the midweek service, 6 o'clock our Sunday evening service. We don't think we're the only one. We realize there are other churches, and that's what we're trying to get you to do. So if you're somewhere and you can't find a church, listen close at the end of our program. Our announcer will give you an address where you can write, and we'll try to help you find one. All right? All right, without any further ado from me, let's get into the second part of the sermon, Instructions Concerning Contentment. But first, the Primitive Quartet, God Has Been So Good to Me.
I've always had a place to sleep, clothes to wear, and food to eat. God has been so good to me. Thank you, Lord, for Mom and Dad, the best friends on earth I've had. God has been so good to me. Friends, God has been so good to me. Thank God I live where men are free, where there's love and liberty.
So, number two, be content with food and raiment. Oh no, it gets worse. Luke 3. You know it's worse just going to the book of Luke. Luke 3. Now, I'll clarify this in just a moment so you'll know that it doesn't include you. But I want to read it anyways. Because I just want to read it. Luke 3, verse 14. And the soldiers likewise demanded him, saying, they're talking to John. And what shall we do? And he said unto them, do no violence to any man, neither accuse any falsely.
Yeah.
Now, in the Greek, or some people would say, you call this a wage? And be content with what? I'm going to be honest with you. I find that a little difficult. And we live in an age of people who are discontent with what they make. They got to find a better job to make more money. And when you make more money, you get in a different bracket. And then in April, you're just cussing out the government for taking so much money from you. Or maybe you're cussing them out before April. I don't know. And you get up in there and listen to me. I'm going to speak this kindly because men are just as bad at women for the most part at spending. I mean, I'm serious. I mean, I know we accuse the women of, you know, where's your wife? She's at Walmart. Is that where she lives? I guess so. I never see her. We accuse her of that, but I'm going to tell you something. Men do a lot of shopping. Boy, you know, that Browning semi-automatic really looks nice. And yeah. And my gun, you know, I've had it for 3 years. It's wore out. Yeah. It's just rusted sitting around the shelf. I mean, I need something that can rust better. And we're not satisfied with what we make, so we try to get another job. And then next thing you know, we don't even see our family anymore. Listen, America's full of this. Now listen to me. You know, the husband and wife, as they go out the door. I talked to a man the other day, and he said that his wife wanted to do such and such, and he says, but she told me, she said, boy, she said, you know, it's getting so anymore, you know, we'll go to buy groceries, it's kind of limited to what we do. And he said, I told her, well, I could go get another job. And she said, oh no, if you did not, then I'd never see you. I thought, well, that's pretty smart. As far as I know, they're not even saved. You know what the average American wants to do? He'll work as long as he can, as hard as he can, to have as much as he can, because he thinks that's the ultimate. Be content with what you have. You'd be surprised what the Lord can do with what you have if you'll just trust Him with it. So number three, your wages. Number Hebrews. Hebrews 13, number 4. Four rules. You say, wow, that's fast of the message. I just said this was four rules. I didn't say it's the end of the message. Hebrews 13, look at verse 5. Amen. Yes, sir. Let your conversation be without covetousness. How do you have such a conversation? Do you realize the average American couldn't talk? Really? I mean, you, the average American, you know, the average person gets guys, you know what I wish I could get? They always want something else that they see somewhere else. Amen? Amen. So it says, let your conversation be without covetous and be, there's that dumb word again, content with such things as you have. Why? The Lord says, I ain't going to leave you. I'm not going to leave you. Now listen to me. Whatever your current state is, be content. If you got food on the table and clothes on your back, be happy. Be content. If you're making enough to at least pay the bills once every other month. Amen. I mean, if you got to throw the names in the hat when they call you, say, hey, I'll take your name out if you can't wait. So if you don't like the way it's going, I'll just take your name out of the hat and you won't get paid at all. Is that clear? Or number four, be content with what you have. I the truth is probably, and I'm going to raise my hand here. The truth is that probably there's some stuff around our house that if we just put it in the yard and sold it, we'd be better off without it and we could use the money for something else. Okay. 1 Timothy. Ah, yes. You know why saints are in the mess they're in? Because they're not content. You know why there's saints that can't tithe and why there's saints that can't give to missions and why there's saints that can't put in the money in a love offering? Because they got themselves so tied up they can't do a thing. Amen. Because they weren't content. Amen. Amen. Amen and amen. And boy, it's getting more ill-content as the day goes along, isn't it? I'm telling you what, folks. I tell you, you know your preacher. I've always tried to give you some pessimistic attitude, but I've always tried to encourage you in some way. But I'm going to be honest with you. These days, they put a little fear into me. Why? The only thing I honestly, and I mean, we've said this for years, but I mean, the only solution I see right now is the Lord has to come back. There is no solution politically. It's all gone. There just isn't. So you say, well, that sounds frightening. Well, no, not really. The blessed hope is what I'm looking for. There ain't nothing wrong with that. That's great. 1 Timothy 6, look at verse 6. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So now here's the reward for your contentment and a godly life. It's called great gain. It's hardly the American way. It's hardly what you're told by the advertisers. It's hardly what you've been raised to believe. But it is biblical truth. Amen. The contentment and with godliness is great gain. We're told that here's what you got to do. You got to buy this. You got to have this. You got to get in this money market. And you got, oh, hey, I tell you what, 3 months ago, they was going to foreclose on my house and I couldn't afford gasoline. And today I'm making $3 million a month. Send me $2 and I'll show you how to do it. And that's the market you live in. Somebody always telling you a better way to do what you're doing. All they're after is your money. And that's why he's making $3 million a month. There's more people out there today, I'm telling you what, lying to you. There's people out there today that listen to some mortgage company and now they can't afford to make the payments they got and their houses are going to be foreclosed, not because they couldn't have made the payment before, but because somebody convinced them. Jude. And we'll look at verse 20. And if anybody asks me what chapter, I'm going to say, get a King James. Jude, verse 20. But ye, beloved, build up in yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keeping yourself in the love of God, looking for the mercy of Lord Jesus Christ to eternal life, and of some have compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by flesh. And I'm going to tell you, there's a whole lot of doctrinal information here. It's going to be more Advent. There's going to be anything else. But let me give you something practical here. Here's an instruction concerning compassion. You know, there are some folks in this world, brethren, and the brethren particularly, that's what the passage is about. You're just going to need to show them some compassion. Compassion is sorrow for the suffering others are going through. You know, we're not, sometimes as a Christian community, we're not very compassionate. I said, sometimes as a Christian community, we're not very compassionate. I tell you what, the world sometimes has more compassion than the Christian community. They will do things for one another. They will have benefit dinners and they will do all kinds of stuff because they feel bad for somebody who's dying of cancer or who can't afford the insurance costs or whatever. In the Christian community, we don't seem to have compassion for people. We know what's right to do, and if they don't do what's right, then they should suffer for it. Boy, if that was applied to you, imagine where you'd be today. Boy, if Jesus hadn't had compassion on you, where would you be today? You'd be on your way to hell, as sure as I'm standing here. Look what he said in 1 John. 1 John 3. I'm not going to belabor this point. I think you understand where I'm coming from here. Look at verse 17. But whosoever hath this world's goods, you know what that means. You got some food in your cupboard, got a couple bucks in your billfold, $100 in the tank. That's almost not even funny, isn't it? Every time I put the nozzle in my tank and pull a thing. Did you hear him say the other day that there's a difference between the time the gas gets into your car in the time it starts pumping on the pump. And then in the fill up, it's called a hold up. A hose? Okay. Yeah. And it says, by the time you get a fill up, you might be $5, paying $5 for gas you didn't get. So Don ends up with fumes. Yeah. He goes, hits, and that's it. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm not going to tell you, never mind. He said that he has these goods, and seeth his brother have need. Seeth his brother have need. The key word there is need. Okay? And shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him. How dwelleth the love of God in him? This isn't charity. It's empathy for someone in need. Compassion is when you see their situation, it breaks your heart. It hurts you and you say, we got to do something here. It's not wrong to help somebody, not necessarily out of a compassionate attitude. I'm not saying that's right or wrong. What I'm saying is that there are times when we need to have compassion on somebody, even when it's not something we like to do, but we realize, you know, if it wasn't for God, it'd be me. You realize that some of you in here, you've escaped some of the stuff that goes on in this world simply because you got saved and you got in church and you got involved. Otherwise, that might be you going through some of the stuff they're going through. I'm not saying have compassion on those who willfully sin and do wrong. Don't misunderstand me. I'm talking about a brother who has a need. I mean, when you're aware that somebody doesn't have any food, somebody doesn't have any gas to get from point A to point B or something, then it ought to behoove the brethren who have this worldly goods to say, hey, here. Look what he said in 1 Peter. 1 Peter 3. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, he says, finally, be ye of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful. You know, that's not going on with your face on the ground. Be courteous. He's talking about brethren. We ought to be courteous to the brethren. We ought to have some compassion. Come on. Listen, folks, if there's anything that we're going to need in these days in which we're living in, we're going to have a unity among the brethren where we have some compassion and where those who are able and those who have the ability can have some compassion on those who don't. And we may not be there yet, but I'm telling you what, this thing keeps up. Some of us are going to be there. You can count on it as sure as I'm standing here that somewhere, I was talking with a pastor the other day, and as a matter of fact, it was Brother Lambert. I don't think he'll mind if I say this. And you know, some of you have been to Brother Lambert's church. I mean, his house in the middle, you talk about the boondocks. I mean, when you get close to his church, it gets dark around there because of the trees, the way they treat. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. But he lives out, I mean, there's maybe one family, maybe two families that live within less than 5 miles of his church. Even he himself, I don't know how many miles he drives. Somebody know, 15 miles? I don't know. He told me it's 15 or 20 miles to the church. 20 miles to one way. He drives church. And he told me, he said, Pastor, he said, I'll be honest with you. He says, I'm trying to think of some way that I might be able to double up with services or something once in a while to help my people out. He said, most of them are paying quite a bit to come to church. You see, what that means is somewhere along the line, we may have to say, well, since the Bible doesn't say we have to do this, then maybe there's some way we can alter this thing to have some compassion on those who are putting out to do it. Amen. Brother, we need to learn this. I know there's a lot of talk about the brethren. I know there's a lot of jamming and slamming and dunking. But brother, if we don't learn to have some unity, we're not going to, the world's way ahead of us in that area. I'm kidding you. The world's way ahead of us in that area. I mean, what do you think a Shriners Hospital is all about? You may not like, you may say, well, I don't like a Shriner. Well, that's fine. That's fine. But I'll tell you what, if you get to the point where you can't pay for a hospital bill and they say, well, just bring your child over here, you won't think so much so. You say, well, that's don't worry about where it's funded from. Didn't he say, make friends of mammon of unrighteousness? It may come to the point that some of us in this room right here, some of you don't have insurance. It may be that some of us that do are going to have to say, I can't do this anymore. I mean, if it wasn't for the Sodomites and all these other people, we wouldn't have such high prices. But we're paying for all the wickedness that's going on in this world. It's got to come under this blanket, you know. And insurance companies, you know, well, of course, we can't be, whatever they call it, discriminatory. Thank you. We can't be discriminatory. And then, of course, what they want to do is have national health insurance, which will bankrupt all of us. And you'll never get to see a doctor. Ask anybody in Canada. Ask anybody in England. Don't ask the candidates. Matthew 10. In all seriousness, I pray every day, because I tell the Lord every day, I say, Lord, you know my heart. I want to be an American, but I'm having a real hard time with this election. I'm serious, folks. I am serious as a heart attack here. I'm having a real hard time here. Why? I just don't see a choice anywhere. And that's a nonpartisan statement here, you know what I'm saying? I'm not asking you to vote in any way I'd vote. I just, you know, outside of just picking a candidate that's not even on the list and writing his name in, I don't know what else to do. Why? I just hate to vote for wrong. I hate to vote for somebody that doesn't have a backbone. Amen. Man, Matthew 10, verse 38. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Here's instruction concerning cross bearing. By the way, this is the first time the word cross occurs in your Bible. And it doesn't have anything to do with Jesus' cross. It's yours. Now you think about that a minute. It's Jesus talking, and he's not talking about his cross. He's talking about your cross before he ever got to his. Come on. And he said, if you can't bear your cross, well, let's turn over here to Mark a minute. Just see what Mark. Mark says it a little bit different, but Mark puts a little bit more emphasis on your responsibility. Mark 8, verse 34. And when he called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I know this is set at a different incident in time as Matthew 10, but what I'm trying to show you is here, what is this cross? Now, most people think that cross bearing is some burden they've got. Well, the Lord put this cross on me. I'm just bound to go through the rest of my life with only one ear. You know, everybody in this world suffers from some kind of ailment of some sort in some way. And that every family in this church has problems of some sort. That's not cross-bearing. That's just trouble.
Well, here we are at the close of part two of this sermon entitled Instructions Concerning Contentment. We hope that it's been helpful to you in some way, been a blessing. If it has been, our announcer will be giving you an address where you can write in just a few moments, and I would humbly beseech you, would you take a moment and write the address down, or email us. We're at wmsd@m33access.com. wmsd@m33access.com. Or the same m33access.com if you just put Bible Baptist on the front of it. All lowercase. Everything's lowercase. Whatever you do, please take a moment to let us know you listen, especially if it's been helpful to you. But even if not, we still want to hear from you. So give us a note, if you will. All right, here's our announcer, and he'll give you an address and encourage you to listen.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to The Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.